Last week, we spoke to Green Senator, Senator Nick McKim, about his grilling of the Woolworths, the outgoing Woolworths CEO, concerning price gouging and a better deal for consumers and a better deal for farmers. And we said, look, we need to reconvene and talk about something else that's just as important. And he's come back on the phone this morning, and I really appreciate it. I want to discuss petrol prices and the allegations that petrol companies and service stations have been price gouging us for years and years and years. Even the word collusion has been mentioned. Very, very hard to prove. And so many Australians are now faced with the possibility of being homeless or couch surfing or sleeping in cars because of the high cost of living, the high price of rents, and the possibility of our kids buying into a capital city seems a very, very distant dream, doesn't it? He's, as I say, on the phone now. Senator, once again, good morning and thanks for your time.
Oh, good day, Luke. Thanks for having me.
These are very important topics because the price of petrol has so much impact on the family budget. And we've got a long weekend coming up. A lot of people will take the Friday off. And we all know, and you know, Senator, that the price of petrol is going to go through the roof probably Thursday. No, probably Wednesday. What on earth can the government, or what can you do about it?
Yeah, well, it's a really good question. And I mean, you're absolutely right. And it's the price of petrol. It's the price of, you know, food and groceries at Coles or Woolworths. I mean, it's basically the price of everything at the moment, whether it's rents going up or interest rates going up because of inflation and supply side shocks, power bills, food and groceries, or the cost of transport. Like, it's all going through the roof at the moment. And there is a common theme here, which is, as you say, price gouging and the fact that we don't have enough competition in a lot of our sectors in the economy. Now, whether or not there's collusion in the petrol area, you know, I couldn't sustain that allegation at the moment. But, you know, you'd have to say there's strong arguments that it is going on because exactly as you say, just ahead of busy periods where you'd expect the demand for fuel to go up, you often see a rise in prices.
So, you know as well as I do, that the price of petrol can go up 50 or 60 cents a litre in some extreme cases. That same petrol that's been in the tank under the service station's floor, they're not buying new petrol at an increased price. They're charging more for the same petrol they've already bought. And it usually goes up before a weekend and before school holidays. I'm right, aren't I?
Well, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that you are, and that's why we need a strong regulator in Australia, and we need to make sure that the ACCC, which is our competition and consumer regulator in Australia, has the tools that it needs to do the job, and clearly it doesn't have the toolkit it needs to do the job. Now, one example of that is divestiture powers, which the Greens have been talking about for a while now, specifically in regards to supermarkets, but it applies right across a number of sectors in the economy where there's just simply not enough competition in a particular sector, and you see that with the supermarket duopoly. And ultimately, so-called free market economies around the world have got divestiture laws on the books as part of the toolkits of the economic regulators, and that is the power to require more competition in a particular sector. And the theory behind competition is simple. If you have more competition, prices come down and the consumer benefits. Unfortunately, we don't have divestiture laws in Australia. And equally, as unfortunately, the Labor Party and Prime Minister Albanese has made it very clear they're not interested in introducing them.
Senator Nick McKim is with us. We're trying to talk about the price of petrol and overall the cost of living. And, you know, the price of diesel, trucks that deliver our groceries, for example, run on diesel. Now, I know that the three biggest costs that face the owners of these trucking fleets are wages, fuel, and tyres. By the way, tyres need to be delivered by trucks as well. So if the price of diesel could come down. And I don't understand why diesel is so expensive when it's less refined. I'm told by experts that it's because of the demand.
Yeah, look, I don't understand the economics of petrol versus diesel, but what I do understand is when you have higher input costs into any business, then those businesses are going to turn around and pass those costs on to the consumers. And in the freight sector, as you rightfully point out, if you've got their input costs going up in terms of fuel costs, then ultimately it's their customers who then turn around with higher input costs and pass it on to consumers who are going to pay for it. So at the end of the day, it's the poor old long-suffering shopper who ends up forking out for these price rises. And again, it's just why we need to make sure that the regulators have got the tools they need. And I think, unfortunately, you could safely say in Australia they don't at the moment.
Let's talk about rents. I was reading a very sad story on Sunday in the Courier Mail about a nurse in Queensland who says in 2 weeks' time she's going to be homeless and living in her car because she can't afford her rent. It's just gone up astronomically without any reason. Has been a good tenant, but all of a sudden her lease is up and the landlord is going to put the rent up way past her capabilities. Do you, the Greens believe there should be some sort of a rent cap? How do you fix this, Senator?
Well, look, these are heart-rending stories, and unfortunately, actually tragically, we're hearing them far too often in Australia at the moment. And absolutely, we're suggesting a two-year freeze on rent increases because rents have just gone up through the roof in the last few years, and it's putting people out onto the streets or living in their cars or couch surfing at a mate's place. And it's simply not acceptable. I mean, we're a wealthy enough country that everyone should be able to have a home or a roof over their head. And the problem that we've faced over the last few decades is housing has become an investment class, and it's become something for property speculators to get their teeth into and make a profit out of, rather than
and there's nothing
the fundamental
wrong with that.
Right. But, oh, well, look, no. There's
we
nothing
don't live
wrong
in communist
that.
China. You're allowed to invest and expect a return.
Oh, you're allowed to invest and expect a return. It's the level of public subsidies in terms of negative gearing and the capital gains tax discount that have transformed the housing market in Australia, and not in a good way. I mean, there's people that have got 300, 400 investment properties, and they would be sucking millions, potentially tens of millions of dollars out of the taxpayer budget every year through negative gearing.
Who has 300 investment properties?
There's plenty of people with 300. I can assure you. I'm not going to say their
who
names.
Who has 300? Come on.
Oh, there's plenty of people got hundreds of investment properties because
really?
It's just such a rort. Absolutely. It's just such a rort. And they're the ones that are putting people's rents up, and they're the ones that are forcing people out on the street. And they've had a bloody good run, not just in terms of the taxpayer subsidies they get, but in terms of the increase in property values that we've seen over the last few years. And it's about time that rent's got a fair deal.
Do you think that negative gearing should be stopped?
Look, I think there's a really strong argument for negative gearing for a small number of properties, potentially one property per household, because as you say, there's no problem if people want to buy and invest. And, you know, a lot of people use that as part of their superannuation savings plan, for example. So there's an argument for negative gearing for potentially one property per household. But these people that own tens or hundreds of properties, they don't actually need yet more taxpayer subsidies to ensure their wealth.
Hundreds of investment? You're going to better style of dinner parties than I am, Senator. I know people with one or two maybe investment properties, but 300?
Oh, don't worry, Luke, I'm not going to dinner parties with these folks. They wouldn't have a bar of me, as we've actually seen in some of the response to my questioning of the Woolworths CEO last week, where there's been a bit of a hysterical response to that. And, you know, a lot of people in the corporate class don't like being held to account, but it won't stop me, I can assure you.
All right, Senator Nick McKim, I always enjoy your brutal honesty, and we enjoy having you here. Thank you so much.
Good on you, Luke. Appreciate it. Have a good evening.
Senator Nick McKim here on The Night Shift on Triple M.